Can't do this much. There they are. You can sit there at the end. Romans 6. We studied through verse 17 yesterday, or whenever we met last. By the way, Pete wrote me an email to remind me that there was no Bible study yesterday morning, but I didn't read it until after I came over here.
Did you get angry at everybody?
I forgot totally. But anyway.
So did you teach anyone?
No. Verse 14, just to review, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now this has to become clear that sin is not what we think of as an immoral act. Sin is self. If you yield any part of you to self, then you are subject to obey the whole 9 yards. There isn't, well, I'm going to stop doing this and then I'm going to get better at that. It's sin as a person. And until you understand that, you're going to constantly be in this ministering to self, fixing self, something about self. And again, to emphasize this, let's go to Romans 7. We'll get there in a minute again, but
This is that knife's edge where religions are born. Because religions, right away, when you get to this point, start up with don't do this and don't do that.
Well, they make sin a trespass or a moral thing. And that
seems right, so that they feel safe doing that. As if they're doing God holds.
Well, it's just a childish thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's not about the acts you do. It's about him. And until that penetrates to the depth of your being, you will continue to be a servant to sin. But now you're doing it. You have to be such an actress or actor that you become a massive hypocrite. No matter what it is that you do, because I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'll just say everything. Well, then you find out, you say something and you get in all kinds of trouble. And then you're not going to never, you make another vow to yourself. I'm not going to ever do that again. But it's a constant manifestation of I. Even if you're trying to resist something, you empower what you resist. And it goes on and on and on and on. Everybody understand this? To whom you yield, that is to whom you become the servant. You're a servant to whoever you yield to, and it's not optional. There's either abandonment of self to God, trusting in faith that Christ is in you and he's fully capable of living the life that he did, or it is self. There's no in-between. And this is why I've said so often, it doesn't matter what you do outwardly, what you dress up or go to Sunday school or go to Bible study every morning. It doesn't matter, because it's you've yielded to yourself.
And this is where your image of Jesus is what you begin to serve, not abandonment for the moment, but.
Well, you're not serving. You're not even serving that. You're serving Satan. As long as you're serving self, you're serving Satan. It's not optional. You can't do anything else. Okay, back to Romans. Go over to Romans 7. And we'll get there pretty soon, but it's so important. Verse 9. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. So the strength of the law is sin. That's what it reveals. Hear these words. For I was alive once. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Now, what is the commandment? The commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. Love, the verb, love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Give breath only to Him. Now watch. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, that sin might be revealed. And again, remember, this sin here isn't an act that you do, it's the person. That sin might be revealed. Or sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual. Now that's a big, big deal. If it's spiritual, there's nothing about it that's optional. It just defines which kingdom you're in. There's not one optional thing in the scriptures. From the very beginning, when I first started studying, I said that to God. I said, God, if there is one thing that's optional in this scripture, I'm going to throw the whole damn Bible out. And I'll just go back to the crap that I was doing before. For some, this may be the first time you've ever heard this. But until you do, you're going to just be tossed to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine and the sleight of men, your men, that lies in wait to deceive.
Yeah, I'm saying the whole point of this is to reveal that you can't do it, that you are sin. If you see anything other than that,
yeah, one of the great tricks was they made sin and trespass equal. They made them the same words. And so a trespass is a sin. And a sin is a trespass. No, trespass is what you do, the mistakes you make. Sin is who you are. That's why there had to be a specific offering in the scripture, in Leviticus. There was first the trespass offering and then the sin offering. Before you could even get into the tabernacle, you couldn't. Everything, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and the cleansing waters were all done outside the camp. You couldn't even get into to find out that Jesus was the way from the door to the altar, to the incense, to the Holy of Holies. That's where He is, the way. He's not the way out in the world, because the way out in the world, what you're doing by paying any attention to self, the way out there is you. And until you find out that you are sin, you can't even know or even begin to understand that he is the way, because secretly you think he's going to teach you the way. And not probably not very secret. Or he's going to show you truth. Or he's going to give you life. No. He is truth. He is the way. He is life. And as long as you think you're going to be shown the way and you're going to be given life, and you're going to be, truth is going to be revealed unto you, you'll never find it. You're still wandering outside of the tabernacle, trying to, and you can say all you want out there, Jesus is the way. Well, yeah, he's the way, but not for you. Well, didn't you say God uses everything? Yes, he'll use everything you do, but he won't use you. This is why Jesus said that many shall come to me in that day, saying, Lord, Lord, etc., etc. And then he shall say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity, which is the worker of sin, of self. This is the great dividing line. Until this is understood, you might as well just close your Bible and go home. Go down to some other place where they're going to teach you how to get self-realized in the name of God. What? You're doing it again, Gary.
Well, I mean, I just agree. That's if you don't hear this, then everything you hear will be to continue on your path to perfection and help from God.
God's going to help me do this.
Yeah. Just,
God's got a wonderful plan for my life. Everything that's taught now, just about, in the name of God, would have been considered abject heresy in the first century church. If you don't believe it, all you have to do is read some of the, read Melito of Sardi, and we do every Passover. All right. For we know, verse 14 of 7, for we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. I don't want to do. And that which I want to do, that do I not. But what I hate, that's what I do. Now, until you can come honestly to that position, you have no hope. You'll just continue your acting. And that's why we spend so much time on the midnight hour. When you're alone with yourself. And this is the important part. If then I do that which I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. And this is where you start the process of going from believing in him to living by the faith of him. Because if you have any integrity, you know that as long as you think that it's me and Jesus going down the trail, then what's going to happen is you're going to be revealed as the biggest hypocrite in the universe. And I don't care if you're a pope or a bishop or a cardinal or a evangelist. Am I talking to anybody?
This passage, basically it's saying I'm out of control.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to do, I can't do.
What I don't want to do, I do.
I can't get it together.
These are the Ted Haggard scriptures.
So basically, you can't ever say, well, I'm getting it together. Because there it is right there.
You can never, ever believe you're doing the right thing. Your truth, and you heard me say this from the beginning, but truth is a sustained consciousness of error. And the moment you think you've got something right, then you've just fallen from grace. The minute you want to learn how to do something, you've fallen from mercy. The minute you lean on your own arm of understanding to do anything, you've resurrected the evil one. Do you see how this is, again, people say, well, you can't just say that about everything. Oh, yes, I can.
This is where that digital thing comes in.
It's on or off.
It is or it isn't.
You're looking at my nose, aren't you? Anyway.
You probably are, too.
If you keep on,
I'm feeling my nose. I consent unto the law that it is good. Finally, maybe somewhere down the line, then there's some honesty or integrity. Because you're doing what you don't want to do. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And who is that sin? The sin is the instead of Christ, the Antichrist, the 666, and everything else you want to name him. He is the one who has set himself up in the temple of the living God, showing himself that he is God, the son of perdition. All the others. That's you and me and all men. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I can't do it. You have maybe a little spurt where you do something that you think is good, but boom, there's no constancy. There's no integrity, because then you have to act like you didn't. Oh, no, that's not me. You have to believe the lie that, well, I don't sin anymore. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil, or the evil one, is present with me. Can you see why this, well, all of Romans, but specifically this part, just revolutionized Martin Luther and many, many other saints in the church? Because it's so, if you have any integrity whatsoever, you know that this is talking to you. And anybody that thinks they're doing good, that's just, you know, that's the biggest trap in the universe. Oh, no, you don't understand what I want to do. I want to do something really good. No.
So this law doesn't apply to me because my good overcomes the law.
All right, back to Romans 6. Verse 16, know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Can you see now why I've said so often from the beginning that you owe your thoughts and your emotions and your mind absolutely nothing? You owe how you feel, you owe your pain, you owe your sickness nothing. You owe your moods nothing. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And how do you do that? You can only do it by one way, by the abandonment of self. That's why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, take no thought for what you're going to eat. Take no thought for what you're going to wear. There's a principle of life. If you take no thought for what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, then there's nothing else that you should take thought of, because those are how you're going to be housed, anything. Take no thought. Now, he knows that you're going to screw up. But again, all we do then is, Father, forgive me, and abandon yourself again. It's like you got divorced from a wife, but you go back and have sex with her every once in a while. But, not again. It's a little bit. But you don't excuse that. You revenge that disobedience in you, not in somebody else. It's not your ex-wife's fault that you went back and had sex with her. It's your fault. It's not the tree's fault that you went over there and committed fornication under every green tree.
We're kind of a conundrum here, because you can't get better at doing this.
You've heard me say forever, the only thing that you can do is repent faster.
Yeah.
And repent means divorcing yourself. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now again, Paul here, then he's excusing himself. I speak after the manner of men because of your weakness of your flesh. Because you can't hear what he's saying. So he has to go back and give examples from the flesh to make it clear. Please take your hat off the table. People eat on the table. All right. It's so clear to me right now. It's not. There's no negotiation. There's no justification. Just simple obedience. I don't feel like talking anymore. We didn't even start where we're going to start. On verse 19. Anybody have any response? Everybody understand perfectly. No negotiations. Anybody see anything this morning more clearly? Any more sweet thoughts?
None, I can't imagine. Loving myself.
Jeff? A little bit?
More inclined to eat sweet and sour. So sweet.
Sweet and sour thoughts, huh? All right. Take it, big guy. Kevin had to go to work.